Rabata Shaboshi. My God, did you hear the Holy Ghost come out of that man? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's right. Let it go. Sometimes all our mountain needs is a shout. Jesus said, you can say to it, be thou removed. I tell you what, those walls that are in front of you, you can pray about them, you can weep about them, you can sing songs about them, but Jericho was closed in, and the only thing that toppled those walls was a shout. And sometimes a shout says more about you than your autobiography. You can shout, you can shout before you get to the battle. That's faith. That's saying, I know that God is going to see me through this mess, and I'm going to come out better than I went in. Somebody needs to get a hold of this. You can shout while the battle's on, saying, the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. And then when you look in your rearview mirror and see life as it was, you can say, I got frustrated about a lot of things that I didn't even have to get frustrated about. God is an awesome God. Man, I'm treading on. I don't want to just launch out in gear and if the Holy Ghost is trying to do something, I want to find out about it. Hallelujah. Turn your ears unto me and hear what I say, and let the words that I speak be the words that determine your life. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge me, and I will guide your steps. This morning, I spoke to you about the power of the Word and how formidable. And I know people will not stretch their mind sometimes, and they say, well, you're abusing the Scripture. The Scripture has a prophetic connotation, but it also has a spiritual aspect. And if we lock ourselves, people get intrigued about prophecy, and I do myself. I enjoy it. I study, but there are times that you need what God is spiritually saying through those lessons. And it's consoling to me, comforting to me to know that I worship a God that is so powerful that if I just preach His word against the problems that I'm facing, He'll make those problems be solved. Would you just raise your hand and just ask God to have His way? Atalabakaya. Lee, I got notes up here. I'm just trying to find out how to thread this needle. I said to you I was going to be preaching, speaking on unction. And And I've got some scriptures, and I don't even know. I know I gave some to Brother Craig and Brother Gary, but 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20, but you have an unction with the Holy One. And verse 27 talks about you don't need anybody to teach you because the unction. Now let's just freewheel it for a little while. I don't know what version of the Bible you use. Different versions have different aspects of meaning on that word. But nobody really understands, and this is commentary material, no one really understands what unction is. The best definition that they can come up with is smeared on. It doesn't start from within, it starts from without. People did great supernatural things when unction came on them. They were able to move mountains. They were able to Samson. Unction, you may not define it by the definition, but you will know when it happens. You've been in the prayer closet. And Deuteronomy said, chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 23, said there are some times that the heavens over you are brass. Anybody ever met that condition? Your words just bounce right back to you. They're brass. And there's a reason for that in those scriptures I gave you. If I shut up the heavens because of your conduct. But I'm going to tell you in John chapter 1 and 2, John was baptizing in the river of Jordan. And Jesus come up out of that water and the heavens that were brass opened. Open. And he came to this earth to keep an open heaven. And tonight, he is seated in the seat of majesty at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, and there is communication between heaven and earth. Amen. Unction. Elijah was a man of like passion, like we are. But he prayed. James chapter number 5. He prayed. And when he prayed, something, we need unction to make things happen that we spoke. We need unction to be able to proclaim. Am I talking to you? I'm just trying to. So let's go to our scripture. And you already got verse. Okay, I sought for a man among them. Do you get that? This 22nd chapter of Ezekiel talks about the conspiracy of the priests, the prophets, the politicians. It's a picture of America. But in the midst of all that, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. You know what God is saying? The future of this land is not in my hands, it's in your hands. I sought for a man that would stand in the gaps so that I would not destroy the land. Am I talking to you? People say, well, God don't need me. Where'd you get that mess from? God runs his program by men and women. God does not say, you just go along. God is not saying I sit upon the throne and I cross every T and I take every. He's saying I give you power and authority and dominion. You're on earth and I'm in heaven. I supply the need. You do the work. We can't miss that. God didn't say I will go down and I will lay hands upon the sick. He didn't say that. You shall do it. God didn't say, I will pray the prayer of faith, and if they committed any sin, they shall be forgiven. You pray the prayer of faith. We are God's instruments on planet Earth. If God doesn't have a plan B, that's why the church is so vital. There's nothing on this earth as valuable as the church is, because we implement the program of God. We set the program and the agenda of God up. God said, he didn't say, I will go in all the world and preach the gospel. He said, you go. And he said, as you go, preach it, and they that believe it shall be saved, and those that believe not shall be damned. The responsibility on our shoulder is staggering. And 2,000 years down the road from this verse, the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm looking for somebody that will rise up. There's plenty of people that will come into the ranks of the church, but there's precious few people that will embrace the will of God. The general overseer preached last Sunday night, and he talked about the five different visitations of the Holy Ghost. And it was awesome. In chapter 25 of one of the earlier chapters of Matthew, the landowner went out early in the morning, and he found people that needed to go by maybe the marketplace. Hey, guys, I need help. Will you come help me? Yes. He goes by later on. Will you help me? Yeah. All day long, he's going by different sections of time, and he's recruiting people. He goes at the 11th hour. Yeah, we'll help you. And when he got ready to pay them, the people that come in the last, work the shortest, got the same money as the first. But what the overseer is trying to show us from the Bible is that each one of those sections of day was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The sixth hour, fourth hour, Jesus goes by the well, and you know, am I talking to anybody? We need to get it in our mind that God is seeking for somebody. He's not just seeking for faces, he's seeking for laborers. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth workers into the field. Amen. Now let's go see if he found a man in James chapter 5. And verse 7. Elias was a man. Do you get that? Subject to passions like we are. He was not some superhero. He had emotions. He got frustrated. He dropped out of the race, sit under the tree and relax, depressed, because Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him. And God found him. God said, God could have said, because he's God, God could have said, okay, you're disqualified. I'll do the job myself. But he didn't. He said, Elijah, I am counting on you. What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be on the road journeying. Elijah gave him an excuse, and the angel of the Lord cooked supper for Elijah, fed him, said, the journey is too straight for you. I'm not going on this journey, in so many words he said. You're going on it. He was a man of like passions. He was a human being. We've got this mindset in our heart that these Bible characters were super whatever. I'm not minimizing them, but I don't want to be disqualified because I don't think that I'm as good as they are. Hello? And he prayed. This man, fallible human being, prayed earnestly. That's unction. That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. That's a shut the heavens up prayer. That's a go in your prayer closet and shut the door. I'm going to tell you tonight, church, the greatest deficiency in the body of Christ is the lack of prayer. The greatest weapon that we have, barring none, the greatest weapon, we say, well, the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to minimize anything, but the greatest weapon placed in our hands is prayer. The devil, oh, come on here. The devil does not, I hope I'm saying this properly, the devil does not resist me when I speak in tongues. It really doesn't matter to the devil whether I speak in tongues or not. He'll maybe get involved in it, try to confuse it. The devil don't really hinder me or not successfully, regularly hinder me by reading the scripture. He doesn't hinder me when I try to fellowship with other believers. But when I get on my knees before God to pray, that brings fury from the devil, because the devil knows that I'm talking to God. He'll try to make me feel like I'm not talking to God. I know I'm speaking to people. He'll put thoughts in your mind, defeat. He'll put despair. He'll put God is not. Has he ever told anybody here that God's not hearing you? Has he ever told anybody you just will quit praying? It's not a right season. We go by our emotions. Well, the spirit of prayer wasn't on me. I can promise you the spirit of prayer very seldom is going to be on you. You pray it down. Hallelujah to God. I was up in that upper room yesterday morning, most of the morning. And I was that first 2 hours, I guarantee you, if the spirit of God was there, I didn't know about it. I rolled, I walked, I crawled, I prayed. I tried to fight sleep. Everything. But after about an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours, something took place. The heavens that had been brass opened up. I didn't see visions, but I knew that I was talking to God. Let me tell you something. What is needed in prayer is absolute persistence. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel and say, well, it's not working this time. It will work. I told you this morning, I got the statistics on the desk where they said if you could get 100 people in your church, 100 people, to commit to praying, you ain't going to believe, you heard me this morning, to commit to praying 5 minutes a week, not a day, but 1 week, 5 minutes, concerted prayer for your church. If you could get 100 people, it would elevate the church to the point where it would begin to increase. I said, well, boy, that's not complicated. That's simple. Then the reality hit me. Busyness. Somebody gave the acrostic for busy. Being under Satan's yoke. Being under, yeah. Anybody ever heard that? Being under Satan's yoke. I don't want to be under his yoke. The anointing, the scripture says in Isaiah 10:27, the anointing shall destroy. It didn't say break the yoke, shall destroy the yoke. God wants that mess that's holding you back to be destroyed. He wants that thing to be dismantled so it can't be used against you anymore. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. But he said he prayed earnestly. These are praying people. Oh, if I could just, if God would just help me. We got people in our church that are going through battles with disease, sickness. Sister Ann is under the pressure of a son on the West Coast and a husband on the East Coast, and she's torn between both of them. And now it's no secret now her husband is going to have open heart surgery tomorrow morning, 4 bypasses, and she can't come back because she's there with her. She needs prayer. She needs somebody, and I know you're praying, you're friends of her, but she needs somebody to take a hold of God and take a hold of her situation and bring it together for the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We just, you know, we go through the Sister Thadine's, her problem. We got people, help me, Jesus. We got people that need deliverance. And we don't need to procrastinate. We need to come up to the plate and say, I will not relinquish my position. I will not give in this my determination. I will pray until something happens. Am I talking to you? This is not fairy tale stuff. Somebody said we're in a battle. No, we're in war. We're in war. But be of good courage. if we're in war, then and if God did not furnish battle weapons, we're being treated unfairly. But if we're in war, he said, the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you understand? God could just push that stronghold, but that's not the way he operates. We are so valuable to God. We're so crucial to his program. Amen. And the word of God says, we shall cast down strongholds. We shall. You understand that? We've got the authority. We've got the responsibility. So we got sick people. We can't just cluck our tongue and say, God bless them. We can't just hug them on the way out of church and say, I'm praying about you. Somewhere we're going to have to wake up and say there's a responsibility on our shoulders. If we have to furnish a prayer chain, if we have to send whatever, at some point we're going to have to come out of the swamp, come out in where the sunlight's shining, and pray deliverance for our people. I believe that. I believe a church, glory to God, I felt something. I believe a church can have so much of God in it that when the members come in, when visitors come in and members join, that they're joining a society, if that's the right word, that is off limits to the plagues of the devil. We tell people that God heals them. And then we get generic about it. Well, he heals through medication. He heals by the power of the stripes that were laid upon Jesus Christ's back. And I'm not going to back down from that. He is the healer. Behold, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. We've got to ring the bell. We've got to hold on to God for that miracle working power that Jesus provided. Unction. We need people that's got unction, that can walk up to somebody and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be delivered. When we've got our back, so to speak, against the wall, we are a different kind of people. One of the tragedies that happened to people is comfort and leisure. We have arrived, we've attained, we don't have any reason to fight. We don't have any reason to struggle. That's the mindset. But as long as we're having to fight for everything that we have, we've got a relationship with God that is undeniable. Let me tell you something. In Revelation chapter 18, in 1 hour shall Babylon fall. 1 hour. There's going to be a universal collapse around this globe. But I believe the church is going to be on the sunny banks of God's deliverance. Am I making sense to anybody? I can give an altar invitation and say, let's pray. And I love you, and I believe you pray. But sometimes we've got to go beyond that and commit. Pastor, you can depend upon, and we've done that through the years. You can depend upon me. I'm going to commit to pray, whatever. But I don't mean just say, Lord, as Brother Larry said, that was beautiful the way he said it. We've all done those shotgun prayers. Just cover everybody under 32 seconds, and we've reached out. We've gone to China. We've gone to Brazil. We've gone whatever. But, oh, God. I grew up in a home that three of my brothers was in World War II at one time. Three of them. And my mother was frail, and she fasted every week, 3 days, for those three boys. One day for each one. I mean, I can remember. People would say, Essie, you're whatever. But she didn't give in. And one by one, those boys come from World War II unscathed, spared. People say, how did it happen? My uncle was the first person in World War I to be killed in Washington County. And the American Legion post is named after him. But the boys didn't, am I talking to anybody? Prayer! When I got in the ministry, when I started evangelizing, I knew nothing about preparing a sermon. I knew nothing about structure. I knew nothing about, not that I know all that now, but I knew nothing about any of that stuff. Here's what I did know. I knew that if anything took place, it was going to take prayer. And I would spend afternoons in prayer. Oh, God, I would just pray. And God would honor. And I prayed maybe out of desperation, but whatever it was, it worked. We'd go to church, and the fire of God would fall. The Spirit of God would minister, not because of me, but because I certainly wasn't the only one praying. But somewhere down the road, we've traded in prayer for eloquence or for smartness or whatever. But I'm saying to you tonight, He's seeking for a man. He's seeking for prayer warriors. The world, this nation is in the mess it's in because the church is in the mess it's in. Do you understand that? I've never seen the scene to be so rotten as it is now with all the politicians. Amen? The anointing, the unction of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Ghost. People did supernatural things when the unction fell upon them. Samson could take the gates of the city. The unction didn't necessarily rest on them continuously. It came on them. But let me tell you something. If you get the unction, it'll come from God, but prayer is what will transmit it. Hello? Prayer is what will project it. I haven't been saved long. When a family come by the church that we were going at the Plymouth Church, and this gentleman, credible, I didn't know him, but later on I realized he was a very credible gentleman. And he stood up and testified before the church. His family was there. They could verify it. He had cancer on his jaw. It had eaten. His daughter was a nurse. The cancer had pierced it was open. It was horrible. And he prayed, and he was a praying man. His family were praying people. They believed in prayer. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They didn't throw in the towel. And that's the thing about it. We got to break that giving up spirit. Fight. If God said it, hold on to it. And this man confessed. He said, God is healing my cancer. God is healing my cancer. And his daughter practically begged him, don't say it anymore because people can see it. He said, God's healing my cancer. I'm holding on to God. I prayed about it. He had unction. One morning, he got up early to shave the good side of his face. He got ready to look in the mirror and he felt itch, a little itch on that. And he reached up to touch it. And he looked in the mirror and it was healed. It was gone. It was gone. Nobody laid hands upon him. He persisted in his testimony. And God honored it. It's not that God is reluctant. Something's got to make that cancer turn loose. I think about Brother Murphy going through what he's going through. Talk to them on the phone. Something has got to make that cancer release. Others in our church going through cancer. The unction from God. Am I talking to you? I will never accept the idea that God is not able to heal. I will never do it. Once in a while, I go on YouTube to Oral Roberts. We're talking the 50s. And it's so inspiring. He'll preach 16 or 18 minutes. Then he'll minister prayer. And it's no fake stuff. It's no, you know, no blowing them with all that. He just preaches the truth. See, the Word of God is our healing agent. It's the sword of the Spirit. I don't know whether I've done anything tonight or not, but prayer is the avenue to power. No prayer, no power. Somebody said, I'm too busy to pray. You're too busy. I can tell you from experience. And I get angry when it happens. I get angry. Angry. The devil is a thief. And he will rob you. He's so slick. He's so cunning. And so sneaky. It's not what you do, it's what you don't do. He don't wreck us by what we do. He wrecks us by what we fail to do. And if I fail to pray, he's won. Sometimes I'll come down there early in the morning, and my agenda is prayer first. And then at 11 o'clock, I've dealt with this, I've dealt with that, I've done this, I've done that, I've read devotion. And I get a call, you need to go somewhere. And as I'm getting in the car, I hear that voice say, I got you again. Anybody? What I'm saying is I did good things, took care of issues and everything, but I got snuckered out of my prayer time. How many know it takes stickability? Would you stand with me?